I'd like to speak this evening on the subject of love's greatest gift. Turn with me to John 3:16. I'm sure many know this verse off by heart. Perhaps the most well-known, possibly the most well-loved verse in all the Bible. A verse often rejected, but even worse, perhaps misunderstood. A verse that many would claim is their passageway to heaven, but perhaps they've understood it. They stop after the word world, for God so loved the world, and they assume that because God loves in one sense everyone, that they will come under the banner of his love. Well, of course, God does love everyone in one sense, in that he has given us more time and more time to repent, more opportunity to come to him. But people don't read verse 17. They don't read that there is a condemnation. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Verse 18, because we are condemned already. Christ coming into this world is not the reason for our condemnation. The reason for our condemnation is that we are born into sin. Every single human being that has ever lived, except for one, is condemned already. Now we must look tonight at the context before we come to this verse. Verse 16, it's been called very accurately, very well chosen words, the Bible in miniature, the words of Martin Luther, the Bible in miniature. It's all here. The beginning of the verse is God, the very foundation of understanding. If we're to go to heaven, we start not with ourselves, we start with God. Then there is the world. There is his Son. There is the perishing that all of us will know if we reject everlasting life, the gift which God offers to all. Well, I've never preached on this verse, if you excuse a personal word. It's such a well-known verse. What can possibly be said that hasn't been said before? But I felt convicted this week. I dare say I will say nothing new. I will only say that which is gloriously old, wonderfully proven, and absolutely certain. For God so loved the world. I heard a testimony recently. It was of a man who was brought up in one of the run-down parts of Glasgow some years ago. He was not a churchgoer. He'd had no Christian upbringing. He did not know the Bible. He could not recite one verse from the Bible. He had no understanding whatsoever until he came by invitation to a meeting like this. He only heard one verse, this verse, and it changed the whole of his life. A verse, one sentence. He was converted, he became a Christian. His life was never to be the same. He became a pastor. And for 50 years, he has been a blessing to very many. Many have been converted under his ministry. Many have understood what it means not to perish, to have everlasting life. He heard this sentence. I had an email a few weeks ago, and somebody was complaining. A relative had been listening to what we preach, and particularly to my preaching. And the accusation was, you speak for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and sometimes you speak on just one phrase, one verse. My friends, you could speak on this one verse for a whole year. There are many preachers who've preached 50 different messages on this one verse. They've taken the word so, and they've spoken for an hour. For God so loved the world. You can put the emphasis on every single word, almost, in this verse. It's been said, more people have become Christians through this one verse than any other verse in the Bible. I'm sure that may be true. Not that we can prove it in this life. One day in heaven, I'm sure we will understand all the trophies of grace that have been gathered from the preaching of particular verses. But you cannot understand this single verse unless you understand the problem that it is addressing. I want to use a heading tonight, our first heading, a deadly bite. A deadly bite. Verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. This is a reference to a book in the Old Testament called the Book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 21 and verse 9. The children of Israel, God's special people, the people that he had given great blessings, they were complaining. They were complaining against God. They were saying, it's not fair. God has not given us what we want. This bread, it doesn't taste right. There's no water. We're not satisfied. We detest, we loathe the provision that God has given us. The children of Israel, they'd had a wonderful deliverance. A deliverance from Egypt, from the hands of a vile dictator. And they'd come to the wilderness, picturing us going through this life, so barren, so many problems. And the people had complained. Have you ever complained? In your heart, is there a resentment? I wish this. I wish I had a better body. No pain. No suffering. I wish I had better friends. I wish I had a better job. I wish I didn't have this fear within my mind. I wish I wasn't anxious. I wish I had better friends at school. And in our hearts, we complain to God. It's not fair. God has brought me to this very place in life, and he wants to bring hardship, even death, and he wants to make me unhappy. God in judgment came. Fiery serpents and snakes came into the camp. In the tents that they were living in, underneath their belongings, the serpents reared up and bit them with a deadly venom. They would surely die. Condemnation, judgment was hanging over them. If the snake bit, they would perish. Perish. And it was just and fair, for the people had complained. The people had sinned against their God, the God that had provided for them, the God that had given them life, given them breath, given them food. He'd protected them up until that point. He'd led them. He'd guided them. And that's what your Creator God does for you. And so, if that was the end of the history, We might think God was unkind. God was unmerciful, but we read in Psalm 103, the mercy of God, the kindness of God, the loving kindness of God is from everlasting to everlasting. God cannot be unkind. And so when Moses went to the Lord, he pleaded with him, Lord, would there be a provision? Would there be some way that the venom of Satan, pictured in the snakes, can be taken away? This is too much. The people are complaining. They've lost loved ones. Oh, it would have been fair. It would have been right if there was no provision. Never, ever think that God is unkind and unjust. If I die in my sins, that's the justice of God. And it's right and it's fair. But God is merciful. God is kind. And it says in verse 14, as Moses lifted up, there was a provision. A pole, probably a wooden pole, was put up. High enough, just high enough for the people to see above their tents. And on it was a brass serpent. A deadly bite. But there was also, secondly, a life for a look. All they had to do was to turn. Turn around. They knew where the pole was. They knew that the provision meant the possibility of healing. They knew that they would be protected. You see, there was a pandemic in the camp. It would surely affect everyone. If the snake got near, all they had to do was to look. There was life for a look. Have you looked to Christ? Have you looked to Him? This is what this verse is all about. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the serpent, the brass serpent, is Christ. It wasn't the serpent that healed. It was the picture of the promised Savior. Even so must the Son of Man, Christ, be lifted up, that whosoever, there's two of them, one in verse 15, one in verse 16, whosoever, that's all of us tonight, I can say with the authority of God's word, whosoever, twice in two verses, whosoever believeth in him. Did you need much faith? The people had to look away from every other remedy. Every other snake oil potion, they had to look away. They had to not think that they could heal themselves. They had to not go to the witch doctors of Israel. They had to look at God's provision. There was one provision. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must thee, Son of Man, be lifted up. There was life for every look. The problem tonight is there are people here. You've not looked to Christ. You're looking at your sin. You're looking at your snake bite. You're looking at all your pains and sores and worries and anxieties. You're looking at the world. You're looking at all the other remedies. But you're not looking at Christ. You're not looking at His only provision. A deadly bite, and there's a life for a look. Will you look to Christ? They were already condemned. If they didn't look, they would die. The snake bite was deadly. There was no vaccine. No human vaccine. There had to be a spiritual vaccine, the remedy for souls. Look down at verse 18. I can't state this strongly enough. People take verse 16, they pluck it out, and then they stop at the end of the word world. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Let's look at this verse. Verse 16. Very, very briefly, I want to see 12 greatests. Muhammad Ali, that boxer, the heavyweight champion of the world, he claimed that he was the greatest, but he was to be defeated. His actions conquered for a while, but he was to be defeated. Nobody defeats this verse. There are 12 greatests in this verse. Let's just go through methodologically through this verse. For God, the greatest giver of love. There is no greater than God. Every other one that offers, that proposes, that tries to heal, they are inferior to God. It always starts with God. In the beginning, God. We come to God. That's the answer. For God, the greatest giver of love. Without him, there is no hope. Without his provision, there is no hope. The venom of Satan, sin will consume us. Our addiction will get the worst of us. And we'll go down and down into the condemnation that we have already. For God, the greatest giver. Well, secondly, for God, so. The greatest degree, the greatest extent, it has no height, it has no length, it has no breadth that can be measured. So, so great. None is too vile. None is too sinful. There is no lost cause. There is even the chief of sinners, as Paul called himself. All are within the reach, the extent. So great is this love. Well, thirdly, loved. For God so loved. That's what we all need. Some of you don't use Instagram. You may not know what it is. If you look up the terms most searched for, love and me are in the top five. 2 billion times love has been looked for. I'm sure whatever the population of the world is tonight, every single human being, their greatest need is to be loved. That's why there are so many that look for love, but their love that they're looking for is the wrong kind of love. This is the love that we need. For God so loved, a permanent love, an eternal love, a love that's unconditional. It doesn't look at what I am. The love is based upon what Christ is. It's agape love that doesn't look at me. The love is on the basis of the one that's giving the love. For God so loved the world. That's the desire that we have tonight, the greatest desire. Well, who's it to? The world. Oh, yes, it is. The word here is cosmos. It is. It's for everyone. It is inclusive, but it's also exclusive. It's only to those that believe. Inclusive, everyone. Exclusive, just for those that believe. Have you believed? Have you trusted? Have you come to Jesus Christ? Is this verse for you tonight? For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. Oh yes, it is for the world, but only those within the world that will believe. And then we can say, the greatest action. For God so loved the world that he gave. If we had to earn, there would be no hope. If we had to deserve, there would be no hope. If it came through some list of qualifications, every university, every school, you have to live in the right postcode. You have to have the right qualifications. But Christ says, he gave. He gave. That's me and you. He gives to you and me. If only we will come. The greatest action, to give. To give. Have you ever wondered how sometimes the queen, she meets another king, another queen, a prince, a princess from another country. And the person that seems to have everything is given another thing. That's not love. The love here is to those that have nothing. We have nothing to give God. Nothing except for our sin. And he comes to us and he gives what we can give nothing in return. His greatest gift. The greatest gift, his only begotten Son, the Authorized Version gets it right. He was not born, he was begotten, he already existed, but he came, his only begotten Son. He came into this world so that he could come to you and to me, his greatest, greatest gift, Christ came from heaven, came into existence. He appeared. He was begotten. That's what it means. That whosoever believes, the greatest simplicity. Is there anything more simple, yet more profound? All I have to do is believe. Every other religion says you've got to do this. And that, you've got to give this to the priest. There are 500 gods. You've got to pray a prayer to each of them. You've got to give your own life in a kamikaze suicide. And all you have to do with Christ is believe. Nothing more simple. Believe that he is. Believe that his word is true. Believe that his promise will be kept, and believe that Jesus Christ is and can be and will be your Savior. The greatest simplicity. Well, who in? In him. The greatest person. It had to be in him. No other was good enough to pay the price of sin. The greatest person that ever lived. He wasn't just an example. He didn't just live a good life. He lived a perfect life. Because you and I didn't, can't, won't. He died in your place. And so we have to believe in him tonight. The greatest promise. We will not perish. Every one of us will perish. Children tonight, you will perish in your sin if you will not believe in Jesus Christ. That's what it says here. You will perish. You deserve to perish. But the greatest promise, you will not perish. The greatest difference, but, what a difference. But here's me. I deserve hell. I'm heading for hell. I'm condemned. But I can have the greatest certainty. I will own it. I will own the greatest possession. Eternal life. Oh, these words, they're too great to explain. For God, God did it. So, He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, everyone that comes, everyone that believes, everyone that goes to Him in prayer and says, take my sin, take my life, and let it be ever, always, all for thee, believes in Him, don't believe in yourself. And then you will not perish. And you will have everlasting life. Is there someone here tonight? You think, I can't. I haven't had it up until now. I've had no peace. I've had no assurance. I don't know where I will go for all eternity. I'm hellbound. Tonight, this promise says, go to Christ. Go to the one, the only one. And you will have everlasting life if only you will trust in Him. The Lord Jesus, verse 17, He didn't come to condemn you. You are already condemned. But if you go to Him tonight, He will take away that condemnation, that judgment, that sentence, that sword of Damocles hanging above your head tonight, and He will give you everlasting life, as sure as tomorrow will be tomorrow, as sure as the Word of God, as sure as all His promises. You will not perish. You will have everlasting life, but only if you believe tonight. I quoted a verse from that hymn. There is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Don't leave it till tomorrow. The verse will be gone. The thought will be gone. The urgency will be gone. Then look, sinner, look unto Him and be saved unto Him who was nailed to the tree. He died. He was condemned instead of you. If you will look to Him tonight, don't look tomorrow. The venom is so deadly. The poison will take you and get hold of you. And then you won't be able to look. And there won't be life for you. Don't look away from Christ tonight. Look to the one who calls you. Look to the one who offers, promises, brings you life. There is life for a look at the crucified one. Look to Him tonight. Look for Him. Your soul depends upon Him. Let's pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, how can it be that the Lord Jesus should speak to us Himself in such simple, such profound words? Lay it upon every heart tonight that the just condemnation can be removed this very night. And then we will not perish in our sins, but we will have everlasting life. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.